Okay, Rabosa, I thank you very much for the opportunity of sharing a few words with you. I have this warm feeling about Miami, especially since tomorrow, tonight actually, is going to become 0 degrees when I'm supposed to land, if all goes well. All the JetBlue airplanes have been shut down. They're afraid of the cold in New York. There's no flights, b'chlal, so I'm not sure. I may be here, till who knows when. The Abish helps. So, when I come, fellas ask me, and Rabbi Lubin usually tells me what not to say. But tonight he didn't. So he's going to have charot, I think. But I try to, as we go around the country, trying to start the mostos, trying to analyze the different kochos that I can't say make the key difference, because it's all clearly siyat d'shmaya, but I'll be derech hateva. What I see is an effective tool in connecting the balabatim to being mashpia and talmidim. There's many, many facets we learn from our Rebbe Zatzal, such a fascinating, interactions with people and the way he understood people and the way he... So whatever little bit we try to do in terms of opening up mostos and connecting with balabatim and talmidim and trying to create new makom in the Torah, where I'm always inspired by watching the metamorphosis. The Torah is something that, is the older I get, the more humbled I am by the incredible koach I see. That it happens from Moshe. Certain people that when you go out, you don't know if they're going to be successful, not going to be successful. The Kabbalah, I just saw it just now, recently. I just told it to one of the Rosh Hashivas. Certain person I was not so sure, never so sure, that this person had the, as Rabbi David Harris calls it, the fire in the belly. And before the project even got on track, he's talking with different level of intensity. He's speaking, he's thinking, it's just a... Rashi used to say the idea of just being makabel and achrayus, just that metamorphosis happens even before you wind up in the classroom, you wind up in front of the firing line. It's an amazing thing to see the transformational powers of Torah. So I just want to first of all mechazik ourselves. We think we're just sitting, we're learning, and we're actually chiseling into ourselves kochos and tools. Just from sitting here and working and harving and learning, and then ultimately I hope to end with two somewhat related, not directly related thoughts, and then try to be mechazik ourselves while we're here, to grab every second, because those processes, the earlier they start and the more powerful they are, the more impact you're going to have on Doros and Dori Doros. It's not small differences, they're huge differences. The gavro that goes into a project, or the gavro goes into a family, or gavro goes into any aspect, if his powers are enhanced by his efforts in yagia, he has to know that it's a total different hashpah, it's a total different relationship. It's not a small difference. They make huge differences. A Yalkut Shimoni on initially Perek Tes, an amazing Maisa. Rabbi Akiva was captured at the end of his life in the Beis Yesurim, and Rabbi Shua Garsi was a Talmud of his, and he was Mishamish him, he took care of his Rebbe. And in Erev Yom Kippur, he left to go, I guess, to Davin, and he went to his home, and Eliyahu Hanavi appears. And he's standing by his doorway, and he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So he answers, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. So in his humility, he says, Klima Tatzorech, you need something, can I help you? I guess he didn't realize who he was. And he asks him, Miato. He's asking Eliyahu Navi, and Eliyahu Navi says, I'm a Kohen. And I came to give you Nebuch a Besura Ra. And I came to tell you that Nebuch Rabbi Akiva was Nifter in the Beis HaSurim. And they have to go and do a kavod achron to take him out of there. And they go to the Beis HaSurim, the Matzah Pesach Shara, Beis HaSurim, a miracle happens. The doors of the jail are completely open. And everybody's sleeping, just like some of you. It's wishful thinking. And they fell asleep with Mami Samais and Nace. And even the captors and the captives are all sleeping. And they did a Maisa Shchivos, and take the cover of the mace, and after he's on the bed, you put him on the floor with some straw, and they put Rabbi Kiva on some kind of a mita, and they carried him out. And then El Yoha Novi is very concerned. First he carries him on his shoulders, and then he sees Rabbi Yoshua carrying him. He says to Elio, what do you mean you're carrying him? What's going on here? You just told me you're a Kohen. So he says, a Kohen is mutter, the tzaddik is not metame. He's no tumah for Talmud Chacham, and his Talmidim to have no tumah. And they took him a whole night to bring him to a place called Antipuris, which is in Kutzrin. I have no idea where that is. Rabbi Lubin will tell you, I don't know. I know where he's supposed to be buried, at least I think he's supposed to be buried, outside the Tveria, whatever. And they reach this place, they go up three steps, they go down three steps, and a magical thing happens. The Ma'ara, where Rabbi Kiva is buried, opens up, and they saw in that Ma'ara, Kisei, Safsol, Shulchan, and Menorah. And they placed him there. And they left. Once they left that space, the doors closed up, and the light went on. It wasn't an electric light. And when they saw, when Eliyahu HaNavi saw this, he made the following statement. Ashreichem tzaddikim, v'ashreichem amole Torah. Tzaddikim are blessed, or have special chusim and special wondrous powers, and the amole Torah, people that are working in Torah, also have those blessings. And v'ashreichem yirei lakim shiganus v'tamun lochem u'mishum lochem makom b'gan Eden. Every Talmud Chacham, every person that's Yogea B'Torah has a special place. It's not just for Aliyah, not just for Rabbi Akiva. There's a special designation that Bern Shalom takes special pride and care and it takes care of him. Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Shnimtza L'chom Malon Erev B'Shas Misoscha. Right away, you passed away, and right away it's there. L'kach Nemar Af Orcha Shulchana. I'm not sure what that statement means. Says the conclusion of this medrash, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bo Re'eh Kama Godel Kavod HaTorah. Let's look and study and understand what Kavod HaTorah is. Shlo Dayan L'Chachamim Shiyorecha Shulchan L'Fneim. It's not enough that the Eberster takes special care to take care of them to this great level. Elishu Mosu Mosefes L'Hem Chachma Achachmasam. That our Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a special gift. Whatever chachma they have, the Eberster adds tremendous amount of chachma on top of that chachma. Hadachsiv ten lechacham v'yach kamod, which normally thinks that a chacham takes an idea and he enhances it, but sounds like the Medrash is saying that the Eberster enhances it, he embellishes it. You have a certain level of chachma, the Eberster doubles. I don't know if it's double, but he gives it an extra bonus. When he's osek b'divrei Torah, he mosefes lo yiras Hashem. Now this sounds like a different dimension here, Rabosai, that it doesn't just say that a person learning, and he's learning, he has chachma and Hashem answer chachma, but it sounds to me that osek b'divrei Torah, it. And Rashi once said a shmuz about the Reb Chia, the process of the tanning of the hides and the planting, is Osek, that process of just being busy, helping, and the concept, the process of Torah, his itself gives a special schus. Is Osek b'divrei Torah, Mosefes lo yiras Hashem, Shenem atchilas chachma yiras Hashem, v'das kedoshim bina. And who are these das kedoshim? Bali Gemara, Shibishar, Shiyoshim, Mevinim, called Davor, v'davor. And the person sitting and he's trying to discern and decipher and be able to distinguish between one svar and another svar, and he's working and he's sounding like he's splitting hairs. Heim domim lo malachim. Power of Torah is so transformative that in that process, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of him after 120 years, and he's mosiv chachma, and he gives a person yiras shamayim, and he gives a person all these great gifts. But to the extent that that person who's sitting and working with his mind and his heart and his soul and he's osek b'divrei Torah, his powers, and that spiritual powers, he has similar in some way to the great malachim shenikra kedoshim, shenemala kedoshim asher ba'aretz hema. We're sitting and we're learning more about Bosei, and we're accomplishing. We're not the same. A person that goes through a sugya and a person that goes through the process of working and sweating and toiling through a sugya, his powers, his efforts that he puts into himself, we see the incredible hashpah a person has on people is because there's a special. He's most of chachum chachmaso. He can come up with things and ideas and the wisdom, but what happens to him is just a magical. It's unbelievable. I saw recently, Rabbi Lubey knows this Talmud was in yeshiva here a number of years ago. He's going through an incredible, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want you to figure out who it is. An incredible, I may have said the last time I was here, I don't remember. When was the last time I was here?
The dedication ceremony.
Huh?
About a week ago.
Huh?
About a week ago.
By the what? By the Klerman thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you came for the Torah.
Ah, yeah, but I didn't come here. So I don't know if I remember. I don't remember. I told you this story. Probably Mary remembers it. But there's a fellow, just I would say, average guy in yeshiva or less than average, and he's going through a shreklicha difficult time. A shreklicha difficult time. By your smile, I think it sounds like it's held told it to you, right? You know, Kitzer. I saw him recently at the Chasna, and I know what's going on in his life. Imamish, you can see the guy; his face is shining with happiness. So I pull him over, and I said to him, "Yanko, how are you doing this? I know what's going on, and I see that your shining face, Imamish, like the kedusha. I'm telling you, like a malach. I don't understand it." So he says to me, "Rebbe, the Eibishter gives me the koach to do what I need to do right now. I can't worry about anything else. I just want to be mesamech this chassan. I just want to make him feel that he shouldn't feel sorry for me. I should see, he sees that I'm there, care for him, and I'm trying to be mesamech for him." And with it's just, wow, this guy was a little, I'm going to say little, he's a big guy, but just a plain, simple guy. All of a sudden, whoo, it takes on, and a whole new people can mamish change. We see it. Come on, every Talmud goes through it, the process, and he works and he struggles, and the Melus B'Torah is certainly true when he's working for the Tzibur and he worked for a Klal. The Koach that he generates and the dignity and the Kedusha and the special Chachma that he has, it's just a Meiridika thing. It's just Taku couldn't do it before he took on that Achrayas. And then Taku couldn't do it before, but now he's just transformed himself. That's the koach of what we have. Ashreichem. The person has to say to himself, we travel and we see people, Nebuch, the destitute, the mamash, they're so empty. Lives are so barren and so unfulfilled and they're so unhappy. I'm sitting next to a guy in a plane, always, whenever I travel, and this guy, he's got trouble with his kid and he's got this problem, that problem. So I only charge him by the hour and it's a long flight. And the simple, just simple things. He never heard, just parshit, just we're so different. It's just we have, you know, the ashreinu, the chachmas haTorah, and the beauty of the Torah, and the dignity of the Torah, the fulfilled lives, that ability to transform ourselves into beings that are so pristine and so beautiful and so wonderful. That they're mamish when people see them and people see you and people appreciate you and say, wow, look at the Koach HaTorah. Ashreichem, Ashreinu. That we have that schus of being involved in the Melas B'Torah, in the process of learning Torah, and the preparing ourselves to do what we can to help Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, who are so desperately in need of Hadracha. It's just, I mean, we went to a bris today, we walk around the room, it's like, you really can't tell who's Jewish and who's not. And my mamash, we're losing, I mean, I was very depressed, I was happy for the Bali Simcha, but I said, wow, Baruch Shalom, this is like crazy. You know, and this is people that, and see people, yeshiva people, Baruch Hashem, I mean, it's a schus to be able to have that banner of dignity that Hashem instills in us in the Kedusha. Rabosei, the power of Hashpa, you wonder what it is the koach of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. It's magic, but it's not, you know, there's no kunsin, there's no Dale Carnegie, maybe it helps certain people, but it's the power of what we have is so profoundly evident in interactions we have with people, with our own chaverim. When a person steigs in a base medrash and the next guy watches, it gives it an energy. We see something. We see its value. The mesiras nefesh a person has, a person's devotion to what he's doing, his dedication to those values that are sustaining us and give us eternity. We realize, Baruch Hashem, we see him. You know, the dinner really just taught me a lesson. You see the incredible hashpah the Torah has had over so many people for so many years. It's katonti mikola chasad, meaning I've just seen that. We had a little part in seeing the enormous impact on so many people, so many lives. I know many of these people from before they came to yeshiva, and they were like those people, completely fry, and they're in yeshiva, and the children now are B'nai Torah, and they're doros of people that are connected to And the happiness and the dignity and the kedusha that they feel and they sense and they appreciate. They appreciate all of you and they appreciate what you do and they appreciate what you have. And in a way they want to be like you. And that's a special feeling. And we sit here and we just say, oh, okay, it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. It's the most precious, most powerful thing on earth. It's the most incredibly powerful force. And we have it. And we just maybe just take it sometimes a little too much for granted. But when you see it on a grand scale, you see it in places, I'm supposed to go, weather permitting, to Las Vegas. Families, all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere. Las Vegas, when the Chevra went there, there's a Rabbi Mendy Levine. His father was a Chavar Vaz Yeshiva. He was recently in a store. And it's not like they don't have Publix over there. Whatever the name of the store is. He comes in on Friday with his, you know, it's the era of Shabbos, and so on shopping, and he's wearing his hat and his jacket, like a Ben Torah. And he has his daughter who came out of the Yeshiva Day School, Las Vegas, with her uniform on. And the son is too young to go to school, no uniform, I guess, and he's wearing his yarmulke. And this guy comes over to me and says, what a beautiful family. An Amish father with a Catholic daughter and a Jewish son. What a perfect family. That's a big people. Like, what? They have no clue. But they're getting it. You see, it's hashpah. You see, oh, there's something here. There's somebody. There's a gavra inside of that person. There's something dignified. There's something unique. Yeah, the uniform is with the Catholic. All right, Baruch Hashem, the sheltered young man, Baruch Hashem. We're both sad, but there's something else that as I get a little older, and I wouldn't say wiser, I wonder often, and Rabbi Lubin, you know, I was very close to Rashiva, I just, as I go around, I think there's something, you know, as you're working and learning, you get closer to understanding and appreciating MS. Something that's so simple and so profound that MS is something that the world doesn't, it has a value for it, but doesn't see. It's such a world of sheker that the stark, critically different what you represent, you care about Emes, you're fighting for Emes, you speak words of Emes. That is something so powerful, so potent. I'm going to be brief. Just this Moiridik, this week I said in Yeshiva, I said over to a group of fellows, I hope it's Emes. B'nai Yisrael, because I'm thinking about Emes. B'nai Yisrael are doing Kedvar Moshe. So last week said in Parshas Bo, there's two places and they're somewhat different. In Perek, Yud-Beis, Pasuk Lamed, hey? B'nai Yisrael, also Kedvar Moshe, V'yishalom, Mitzrayim, Klei Chesed, B'chlei Zavu, Smolos. They asked for three things. They're leaving. They're on their way out. And the Pasuk really, early on, Perek Yud Aleph, says two out of the three. It says, Klei Kesem, Klei Zav. And Moshe was told, Daberno, Loshen Bakasha, please, I want you to do this for that Oso Tzadik, Avram Avinu shouldn't have Tainas on me, that he fulfilled the Inu of Ger Yazaracha, Vavadum, the Inu Osam, that you were Mekayim, but you weren't Mekayim, that you went out Baruchush Gadol. That's not how you're talking, a Kodesh Baruchu. So he asked for Kli Kesef and Kli Zav. Klai Yisrael didn't want it, based on the Gemara says it very clearly, Gemara and Brachas. They didn't want it. It was like in a Beis Asurim, they're plotting to get out. Don't bother me, I don't want it. I just want to get out of here. I just want to get out. They didn't want it, so Hashem says, please, you're not doing it for yourself. You really don't want this stuff. Gold and silver, imagine, has no value to you. Don't care. Moms don't care. Don't make me stay here another second. Let me out. But please, I don't want Avraham Avinu to have tainas on me. So you're asking Kli Kesef, Kli Zav, to be Mekayim, the promise I gave. Okay. So Rashi says, Kli Kesef, Kli Zav, Usmalos, that the Me'uchar, the last one in the Pasuk, is the most Chashuv. Rashi has to tell me. Every week I go through this at least once every 3 years, Rashi. What do I have to know? The clothing is more valuable. What's going on here? What's the first pasuk? If it's more valuable, right? Why doesn't the pasuk say it earlier? L'chor, the pashtus is that it's less valuable. Kesem and Zav, it doesn't say brass. It doesn't say copper. The lesser things I don't have to say. The reason why smallos. So the Rishonim and Achronim, it's a mechilta. So the Gur Aryeh says that it's an ascending scale. It's going from lower to higher. And it really, the reason why it's not listed in the first Perek Yud Aleph is because to Klal Yisrael it wasn't valuable. They didn't care about it. But to the Mitzrayim it's valuable. So what do I have to know that for? Comes out that even though you had lots of silver and lots of gold, this stuff that you really don't care about, clothing, Egyptian clothing, could be, it's valuable, but I don't want it. You're walking out with oodles and oodles of gold and silver, but it's not honest, because I promise you, Rechosh Gadol. And Rechosh means you have to have a portfolio of things that are considered valuable by those goyim. And if I don't bring you out with that, it's not considered Eloch, it's not honest, it's not Emes. And that Avraham Avinu would have a taina on the Borei Olam, you promised them Rechush, and that's considered Rechush in the currency of the Egyptians, and you left, and then he left without that. It's spelled Epis. Okay. It's a shtickle chiddush. Rabosai, but if you go through the next week of Klal Yisrael's history, which are coming to this week, Sedra, the Bizu Mitzrayim was, I don't know how many times, more valuable than the Bees, than what they took out. Hundreds of times, they became fabulously wealthy. So Avraham Avinu, cool it a little bit. Your Klal Yisrael is going to get. The Rechosh Gadol, they're going to have more than they can imagine, right? They're going to have everything they want. More than they want. And they don't need this stuff in the Midbar, right? They had all the clothing, one suit, lasted over 40 years. It wasn't even a Joseph A. Bank suit. It was a suit, right? Whatever, it lasted, right? On sale. It was a suit, whatever, and it lasted 40 years. I don't know if it was black. But it was probably white. The Abishter made a nace.
Charles Howard.
Right? Charles. So what's the pshat? But even though it's just a short time, if it's there and the Eibishter in his profound, his chosam is emes, that the Eibishter, that's, it's even that small time, you're out, but you're, but you don't have it right now. That's not a keem of the Eibishter Avtocha. We see, Rabosai, the empower of emes. Emes is, it's not valuable to you, but it's a word. I gave a word. I saw this when a little bit. Rashiva was never here to pay a visit, Shiva visit, when Dr. Jacob lost his son, David. And it was amazing to watch him. Unfortunately, I had to use some of this, that lesson I learned was a powerfully painful lesson to be mafayed, to talk to somebody in the tsar you can't even imagine. And Lamaisa, talking, it was unbelievable. It's not for now. But at the end of the visit, Rashiva says, Mir Tzashem will be together for Simchas. And he left. And he said, I'm welcome, and he left. 6 months later, Dr. Jacob's oldest daughter gets engaged, and the Rebbetzin brought him, was so happy, and brought the invitation, and Rashiva says, Rebbetzin, we're going to the chasna. I was in the house. I don't know why I was there. And Eibishter had his cheshbon. So Rebbetzin said, going to the chasna, we don't go out of town. Rashiva had his rules. He didn't go out of town. He didn't go to Lakewood. He would tell me to move. Of course, he'd go. But that's it. He didn't go. Once he broke the rule, he had to go for everybody. So he didn't. That's it. That was the way it worked. So Rebbetzin says, how come you're going? So he said, so I gave him my word. I said, Amitz Hashem, we'll be together for Simchas. You say something. That has to be, it's a bond, it's a statement. That's what a Ben Torah is. The statement, we learn from the Eibishter's Midos, that when you say something, it has to be truly true, perfectly true. You have to make sure that that's, and that impacts people. They see something that they didn't, I said something. I have to keep that. There's a havtocha. I said something. I made a promise. I made a commitment. I said something. You saw that by Rabbi Yaakov's stories upon stories. Rabbi Yaakov, I saw this. My own eyes when I had the schus of spending some time with him. He encouraged me, encouraged us to start the yeshiva here. So a lady walked into his apartment. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky must have been in his, I don't know, low to mid-90s at the time. This was 1982. You do the math. It was 4 years before he was nifter. He was in his low 90s. He didn't want to tell us his age. But he said, the next time the Eibishter gives me the schus, that I'll finish Shas, I'll be closer to 100 than I am to 90. I'll figure it out. But it was. He was quite old. And a lady comes, a lady comes to the door to visit his rabbits, and he gets up, and he ran to the door. And I was there with Rabbi Kalman Winter, all of a shalom. Like, looks at me, I look at him. And he comes back, and he says, please forgive me. Let me explain to you. This woman's husband came to my shir. He gave two daf yomi shirim in here in Miami in the winter on his vacation. And the man came to the shir, and his shikagrus sent regards to your Rebbetzin from my Rebbetzin. And I forgot. I told him I would do it, yeah. And I didn't do it. It's a chazaka, shliachos, and shlichos is his words. It's level of edelkeit and eilachkeit. And it's not, you gave somebody a sense of, come on, who says? Send regards. They say it. What a Ben Torah. The person that works and he's working on MS. And the kedusha that he has, its mouth speaks differently. His mahus is different. It becomes a shtick like the Eibishter, like a malach. His words mean something. Purposeful. The life. That every word is measured. Everything is important. Everything has a reason. And everything, it has to be measured carefully. That the world sees that. Whew! It's amazingly profound. They don't see it. This day, I say to the world, it says, I know this politician's not lying. Of course, his mouth is shut. I mean, there's no truth in the world. There's no, I shouldn't say it. Out in the belt, there's nothing. It used to be maybe a mall when we were kids, you know, people would give their word. Okay? The word. This doesn't have any value. But to Ben Torah has all the value. That we learn from the Eberster to copy his Midos and to do it. We're working on the Emes. We're struggling with the Emes. It transforms us. It makes us different people. But people that know and understand that the Koach HaDibur comes from Elokus. Comes in the neshama, which is that defines us and separates from behemoths, and that every word that comes from that is from the chelik of kal mimal that has to be consistent to the midos of emes, and that's something very profound. They see a person with character that he cares about what he says. It means something. It's not just words. It's a pronouncement of what he is. What you speak and how you speak and how you comport yourself is a representative of the values of the Kedush you have inside of us. Ashrecha matal chalkechem, that we have that koach to be able to hib dilonu min atoyim, those other nebuch, less fortunate or not unfortunate, the nasalanu toras emes, that we have this emes, that we fight for this emes, that we represent emes. We are the one soul singular force of MS in the whole wide world. And that's an unfortunate MS, but that's MS. And you have to know that. It's all here in this basement, in this coastal basement, in other every basement, but that's what we represent. That's Elokus. So let's hope and pray, Rabosai, that we understand a little bit more the power that it has on ourselves, the power that has on others, and the need to really recognize the responsibility that it carries with it and the source that it carries with it. Thank you very much.